I want to welcome Mike Jewell to the studio. Morning, Mike.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm all good. And now, folks, Mike's a local massage therapist, but we're here to talk longevity. Well, you have an interest in longevity and sustainable health, so that's kind of the general thing that we're talking about. Today, you want to talk about movement.
I do. Yeah. So,
And have you been moving this morning?
Well, I've been making lunches and...
That wasn't what I was thinking of.
I've been moving, just life movement, but I haven't been sitting on the couch.
Right. But,
yeah, so in the context of longevity, I know I've repeated this a few times on this segment, but there's six things that we look at. So there's movement, rest, whole foods, simplicity, purpose, and community. So those six things... all put together, add up to those are the six things that they look at that are common for people who are living long, healthy lives.
Yeah,
when they've got those things all kind of working well together. So movement is one of those things, hence the topic for today.
Yes.
And I think the general consensus is in life, I mean, this is not new to anyone, but is that we're not moving enough because our lives have changed so much.
Well, there's so much work that's sedentary.
Yeah.
Like how I'm sitting here for... I sit here for... because the show's 2 hours and then I edit the show afterwards and do some admin. Sometimes it can be 3 hours in this chair and I fool myself into thinking I'm moving because the chair spins around and has wheels on it. But then I go to stand up after those 3 hours and I'm like, oh wow, I look like an old man.
Yeah.
Like an elder. I look like I need a cane for the, you know, the first few steps. So I guess that's an illustration of the situation you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's you know, that's in a lot of ways, that's probably quite on the lower end, you know, 3 hours. You know, a lot of people are sitting all day for work and driving to work, driving home from work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in general, although, you know, like, it feels like we're moving a lot, our ancestors, it was just all day, every day was how they lived, so.
There were no jobs, there were no careers, but the jobs that they did involve moving, didn't they? Didn't involve sitting down. I heard someone describe this sitting down, rearranging abstractions.
That's the description of a job.
That's what a lot of jobs are in bureaucracies and in the corporate sector, right?
That's a good description. Actually, I've done my time of that,
rearranging abstractions.
I remember I had a job in my mid-20s, and I could kind of get it done in about 2 hours of an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
But I had to be there and I had to look like I was doing something, obviously, because I was getting paid. And so I used to just scroll up and down on spreadsheets. So it looked like I was doing something. But I was actually just burning time and just going mental.
What was the job? Was it corporate sector or bureaucracy or?
I was doing like health and safety for this power meter reading company in Auckland.
And why couldn't you expand the job to fit the hours? Like,
well, it's going back 20 years, so.
Oh yeah, but I'm now curious, right? We're all curious.
Like. I think there was just that's what it was. There was about that much work to do, and so I remember just.
And you had no autonomy to say, I think I'll do this as well.
Nah. So I was scrolling on spreadsheets to make it look like I was doing something. And you're kind of, I mean, that's a lot of time to be scrolling on spreadsheets.
Well, these days you'd have the internet to entertain you. 20 years ago, did you have that?
No, I did, but
it wasn't as good as entertaining us back then. Yeah,
but I remember I used to go into spreadsheets and write emails in them.
Yeah.
So it looked like I was doing work because it was in a spreadsheet, and then I'd copy and paste. What yep. I'd written, quickly jam it into like Yahoo back then or whatever it was, send it so no one saw me on the internet, and then like go back to the spreadsheet, and then an hour later check if someone had replied, and that was hours and hours and hours of doing that.
Wow. I must admit, I've never had a job where I ever had enough time to get the stuff done, so in some ways that sounds quite nice to me, but I could see after about a week you'd be over it.
Yeah. There's positives and negatives and everything.
Mm. So, okay. So, and you weren't moving.
In that job, no. Well, that was a bit of a sitting job, but going back to this topic.
Yeah,
so
movement.
We've completely digressed there.
I know. I just had to know about that.
So I'm just going to read a few notes off this. This is from a presentation that I've done before. But as foreign as it may seem now, there was once a time when virtually every human was full of vitality and physical resilience. Every human.
Mm.
That was just the norm. Your cells are just as affected by the movements you do and do not feed them as they are by the foods you do and do not feed them. So movement feeds your cell, feeds your body on a cellular level the same as nutrition.
Yeah.
That's just like, I guess, a few reasons why movement's important. How have our movements been unprogrammed? So how have we become kind of, what's happening in our lives that makes us move less and not move in a natural way? Or, you know, we're sitting in these funny positions that are tightening our bodies in weird ways and giving us injuries. And so things obviously like driving, sitting, convenience, lifestyle, computers, you know, just all the normal stuff. A recent UK survey found that many of us spend up to 12 hours a day sitting, looking at computers or watching TV. Throw in the 7 hours spent sleeping, that adds up to a remarkable 19 hours a day of being sedentary. So that's a lot of time, eh? But I feel like Raglan's kind of an anomaly in that way, where I think we wouldn't fit into that category. I think
it's not so much. I mean, it's certainly, I see our kids are more active.
Yeah.
Something like having the beach there. I would say that there are some adults who are more active, but I'd also say there's adults who are not as well. I don't think it would be a uniform thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So on average, if you looked at us as a population, we'd say we were better off, but there would still be many individuals who really, really need to be moving. And I wanted to ask you, because as a massage therapist, do you notice that? And you can feel the difference between someone who's has a physically active life and someone who has a sedentary life. Of course, the physically active person might be too active, and that's why they came to see you, because the things are broken. But, I mean, what do you notice?
Well, that's a good point, yeah. I mean, I do see a lot of people with locked-up hips and lower back pain, which from sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah.
So people come in that have, you know, they've got a job at a computer, drive to and from work, and then got lower back pain or no mobility in their hips. So, and it's just literally a result of not being able to move through the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty prevalent.
Actually, you know what you're talking about? People in Raglan are probably better off in this regard. I do notice... And I don't think anyone will be listening who I'm going to insult, but when council staff come out to community board meetings, they often, not always, but they often look noticeably different to everyone else, all the local people.
To all the locals, yeah.
Yeah, the local people have got a bit more of a suntan and their bodies have obviously been doing more physical work, whereas, I mean, if you're a career bureaucrat, you have to be at your desk. And
it's the nature of it.
Yeah, and if you're a high-level manager, probably for more than 8 hours a day.
Mm.
So it's not universal, but I do know sometimes it does. Sometimes it's noticeable, you know.
For sure. And then, yeah, it is like so – I find myself being so grateful to live here for that reason of just the default health that you get from living in a place where you're kind of more active and more outdoors.
Mm.
Is such a cool thing in these times.
Yeah.
I had an interesting when I was in Bali in July. You know, it's interesting, eh? You like different cultures. You're there, and you just notice like everyone looks. The local population is just movement is part of life.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of lean and strong, and you know, active, and it's just standard. And obviously it's a different lifestyle and maybe less conveniences, and but it's different, like location to location, and how that creates how we are.
Yeah, yeah.
So, just a bit of a point on what you're saying. You're talking about the councillors coming out.
Well, not the councillors, the council staff.
The council staff.
Yeah, yeah. Who are forced to act on the councillors. They get to go out everywhere. They're all over the district.
Right.
In and out of meetings, but the staff are like, there's your desk.
Yeah.
You know, stay there most of the time. Yeah.
So the key, the one of the things with that is like those jobs, they're not going anywhere. So, so we have to work out how do we live with that, but still.
Yes. Still, okay.
You know, how are we healthy?
Yeah.
It's just the way work is in many ways now. One of the keys with movement in life is that we're moving consistently through the day. So, it's like, how do we build movement into our life or into a job like that? What are some of the ways we can do that so we're actually not kind of sitting all day? Then we might just get a little half an hour at some point at the end of the day and we go and do a bit of hardcore exercise or something and then that's it. But actually, we need to be all day moving. So there's all sorts of things like, you know, standing desks.
Yes.
Are actually proven to be really effective in terms of how much you move through the day.
Some people might be like, oh, can I actually stand all day though? Is that?
You can get, when I was working, doing lots of computer work a while ago, maybe 5 years ago, I set up a standing situation. And you kind of condition to it.
Okay.
So at the start, I could kind of do a couple of hours, but actually over time, I could easily spend a working day standing.
So you develop, I guess, your core strength or something like that. Is that the phrase I'm looking for?
Yeah, it's probably core strength. And I think if you're standing sedentary, standing without moving, yeah, that's... But just by default, because you're standing, you know, you get a phone call, you walk around and you take the phone call or you... You just move more just because you're standing up.
I'd quite like to have a desk that could, this desk here in the studio, to be raised. If you look at a lot of modern studios, the DJs are standing up now.
Right.
And I'd like to do that, but folks, most of you haven't been in the studio, but Mike and I are looking at this huge slab of macrocarpa, and I don't know how we would raise that and with all these cables as well. There must be 100 cables, so I'm not quite sure how we would do that in here, but. It would be nice, but then you've got to be able to bring it back down. It's got to be movable because some people will want to sit.
You can stand, can't you, with the mics?
Yeah, I tried doing that, but then trying to use the keyboard, like I was bending my wrists backwards. That only lasted about 5 minutes before I was like, "That's not going to work." wrists were starting to ache.
Bad ergonomics.
Yeah, it was very bad ergonomics.
Things like standing desk. And simple things like, you know, park your car a walk away from work so you get a forced walk to and from your car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's crazy that we're even having to think these things, but it's just reality.
You're right, actually, it is. Yeah, like deliberately park your convenience device too far away.
Yeah.
So you have to do something inconvenient.
Totally.
For your health. Totally. Yeah.
So there's that. And then, like, you know, if you've got a meeting... or phone calls, you can, even meetings, you can go, okay, let's go for a walk and do it.
Yes.
Let's walk out in the park and do the meeting. Let's take a phone call on the...
Walk and talk.
Walking around, walk and talk.
Yeah.
So they're just simple hacks just to, you know, and obviously lunchtime and all that's all an opportunity to get out and move because it's pretty easy to just keep working through lunch or to get something to eat and then... be on your phone or whatever. Yeah. So it's just injecting that into your life a bit more and habitualizing it. It's amazing what those little things, how much they make a difference.
Did you ever have a moment in your life where you had to decide to do more movement? I mean, now you have a job that you massage people, therapist, and your whole body is active anyway.
That's a great question. I actually had a job in my early 20s. I was working at this recruitment business in Auckland. And it was sedentary. And I remember just one day going, oh, my God, like, I feel I just felt bad.
Yeah.
And I'd never felt that in my life. You know, like I'd grown up playing heaps of sports and just, you know, classic Kiwi lifestyle where you, and especially this was before any devices. So
yes,
that's all we knew really was we were every day we were out and about. And I was, you know, I'd been to uni and then I'd got this job and I was like sitting all day. And I remember after about 6 months, I was like, man, I feel so rough. Like I was, had aches and pains in my body. I'd had no energy. I'd put on weight. And I was like, this is not good.
Mm.
And I did the, which is a classic thing. I did the, I'm going to sort this out. And like that night went for like a 10K run.
Yeah.
And nearly destroyed myself.
You were really out of shape with 10Ks. Oh, no, actually, no. Sorry,
10Ks, it's a long way.
Not 10 minutes, 10Ks. Yeah. Yeah, 10 minutes would have been good.
Yeah, 10 minutes would have been good. I just went way too hard, too quick, but I was like.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, I and this is another classic thing that people do, is I just signed up for a half marathon. I went, I need a goal.
Right.
And just started training.
Yeah.
And just sorted it out.
But it did work.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Okay,
got
right.
rid of it. My body felt way better.
Because being overly ambitious can sometimes kind of yeah. like, call, you know, it can undermine
yeah.
your resolve, really. It's if you too big a challenge.
Oh, that was the beauty of being 22 or 23.
Yes.
Where I just did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it sorted me out, to be honest. And I learned a few lessons. I guess I learned that lesson right then and there, that I had to be more active if I wanted to feel good.
Yeah, one thing I noticed, the modern computer screens have helped things, but I remember working in an office where, with those old CRT monitors, and there were some bright lights behind the monitor, and I ended up sort of putting my body in a really crazy position so that the monitor shielded the light from behind.
Oh yeah,
behind it, but also so there was no reflections off it as well. I was just in this crazy position, and I was getting like neck aches and headaches and migraines. And
yeah.
Modern screens are a little bit better, but
that's, oh yeah,
yeah. The basic ergonomics. Even if you have a sedentary lifestyle, you do have to get that right.
You do.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's a really common thing too. Is
you'll obviously be seeing people like aching necks and things.
Heaps of that. Yeah. You know. What do they call it? OOS, occupational overuse syndrome.
Yeah, we used to call it RSI. They had to change it. I don't know why.
Yeah, we used to call it RSI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. That's another thing, you know, is it's not just movement, but it's how you move.
Yeah. So,
I was going to say, so one of the things, and I've mentioned this study heaps of times in our catch-ups, but with the Blue Zone study.
Yes.
So that's the five areas in the world where people are living the longest, but in good health.
Yeah.
So if you know, people listening might have watched this documentary on Netflix, which details each of these, and it kind of goes through each area and shows why they're living so well. And the one in Sardinia, so one of the blue zones is in Sardinia, which is an island off the bottom of Italy.
Mm.
And they and it's in the center of the island, so it's a coastal, small coastal island with coastal lifestyle, but the people that are living the longest are the ones inland, which is quite mountainous and quite steep.
Yeah.
And they couldn't work this out, so the people in the center were living something like an average of 10 years longer than the people on the coastal part of the island.
Right. And it's not a big island. It's not a huge island.
It's tiny, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiny. I've been there, actually, and like circumnavigated it pretty quickly, you know.
Yeah.
So the differential shouldn't be that mm-hmm. big. But they spent years trying to work this out, and what they found was that the one defining difference was because in the middle it was steeper and they lived on hills and they... Often their house was up somewhere where they had to walk lots of stairs. They were getting much more physical exercise,
yeah,
and movement in their day than the people on the coast.
Yeah,
and that added 10 years to their life.
So I know that lots of people who say when they get older and they become elderly, they want, well, there's a tendency to find a single level house with flat land,
mm.
so that it's easier,
mm.
but maybe we shouldn't be doing that. That's when to. Although you will eventually get to a point where that's all you can do. Or some people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on that at all. Just ask the questions, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a case for continuing to challenge your body for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Especially with things like that, because that's a resistance. That's adding resistance into your body by having to walk upstairs.
Yeah.
And and adding resistance to your body is one of the core longevity elements as well. So that increases muscle density, protects you from osteoporosis, bone density, keeps your bones strong. So if you're not working against weight, or you're work, you know, something like walking upstairs, for example, and you become more susceptible to, you know, classic thing when you get older is like a broken hip, for example.
Yeah.
So you have a fall, break your hip. It's hard to recover because you're older.
Yeah.
But those sorts of things can prevent that. Well, they do prevent that.
Yeah. I know my mother, who's always had a career as a nurse, and she must have come across some of this research. She always walks every day. She's 75, 76 now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and she always walks. And right. she's still like very able. She could walk up a hill, no worries. I wouldn't consider that.
Yeah.
It to be something to be worried about with her at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. There are plenty of people in their 70s who are very fit and active, though.
For sure. And, yeah. You know, like, that's the thing, is it's not, belief-wise, we have to believe, because often we're like, oh, we get it, you know. I even find myself doing this sometimes, and I'm like, ah, oh, I'll get up and my back's a bit sore, I'm a bit tight or something, and I'll say, oh, I'm getting a bit older, you know.
Yeah, I'm such an old man now.
You know, and I'm like, man, you can't set those beliefs up, because they will start to kind of come into reality where you're walking around thinking, I'm older, I can't move as much, I don't have much mobility, so I won't.
Yeah, and your body kind of gets the message too, doesn't it?
Your body gets the message from that belief, yeah, it does. And there's so much evidence that shows the opposite.
Mm.
I was listening to this podcast the other day. Do you know who Laird Hamilton is?
Is he some ultra-distance runner or something like that?
Is it close? He's actually like this big wave surfer.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I knew he was some big-time sports athlete. Person, but yeah.
And he's pretty... I mean, he's pretty extreme, but he is talking about this good friend of his who is, what was his name? Bill Wildman, which is a great name. And he was talking about how he was about 30 years older than Laird. And they met Laird Hamilton. He lives half the year in Hawaii and half the year in California. And they met in California by chance. And this guy was an absolute like machine, and Laird was like 40 when he met him, so he was 70 at the time, and he said this guy was an absolute weapon. Like he was free diving, climbing, snowboarding, everything you could imagine, and he said it was all mindset.
Yeah,
he said he died in his mid 80s, and he said a week before that they were heli snowboarding. up in Oregon somewhere in the States.
Yeah.
And he said this guy just didn't have the belief that age was going to change his movement.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, I reckon that's like 90% of the game.
Yeah. Well, certainly if you believe you can't do it, you won't try. So that's, then you'll become sedentary just purely based on that. One thing I wanted to ask you about is different psychological states. Sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm going to get out and do these things. And sometimes the thought of doing anything extra in your week, like a fitness program or something like that, is just a little bit too much, right? Yeah. There's a lot of people out there, and we've all probably had it at various stages of our lives, where we're just like, I can't do any more than that. And I know I need to get out and be fit, but it's just not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Is your question how do you overcome that?
Yeah, what's a solution? Maybe an easy start, or I don't know, anything.
Oh, I see.
Anything,
yeah.
Really. Like,
what's the solution? And I think it's what you were saying before, is aim low. So when I was 23 and I wanted to sort it out, I went straight for a 10K run and then signed up for a half marathon.
Yeah. That's not necessary.
No, it's not. So aim low. So just do something, but do it consistently. That's my advice. And me personally, I've got this. So when I give an example of myself, I'm not saying I've got it dialed, but it's just what works for me. What I've got is I do these body weight exercises every morning.
Yeah.
It takes me about 10 minutes. So it's so quick. So get out of bed, you know, like have a drink of water, chill out a bit, and then do these 10 minutes of exercises. But I do it every single morning.
Yeah.
Regardless of the day, regardless of whether I'm on holiday, every morning.
Things are easier if you can build it into your routine. You don't have to think about it. Sometimes it's the thinking about it that's actually the challenge. But if it's a routine that solves that problem, I've found.
It is. And the longer you do it, the more you become kind of excited is not the word, but you know how it's going to make you feel. So the motivation actually becomes easier.
So how long do you do it for? How many minutes?
I can do it in 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's so quick. But it completely changes my day. Just doing those 10 minutes or 15 minutes of body weight exercise.
So if I forced you to not do it for a week, how would you be?
I'd be grumpy.
Right.
I was listening to something with Gabor Mate, actually.
Yes, yep.
And he talks about his life kind of routines and stuff. But he said that he swims every day, guaranteed. And he said if he doesn't swim, just don't be around him.
Right.
You know, and
this is professional advice. Don't be around me.
Yeah, he's like, don't be around me. And he's a guy that, you know, he's a psychologist and he knows he's probably got a high emotional EQ, but he still knows he has to do that to regulate himself and feel good and operate.
Yeah.
So,
I read this interesting thing. I don't know if I told you about this, because I've discovered it while I was doing my show, and it might have been just before the last interview, but they're having these walking clubs, if you want to call them that, in the UK, where people go out and they walk together as a group. Oh, and then they also, what they do is they group everyone into groups of three and give them some topics to talk about.
Oh, that's awesome.
To like just gently get them into talking about mental health and things like that. And they have this planned route all around, and they do it as a group. Because if you're a gregarious person walking by yourself, I mean, you're taking care of the body, but it can be
boring
or lonely.
Or
right?
Lonely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's solving loneliness issue and physical fitness issue, mental well-being issue. Like it's kind of doing all of that.
Mm.
So yeah, that's a thing that's happening in the UK. Easy to do in London because there's people everywhere. On the other hand, have you been to London? Have you noticed that people don't look you in the eye?
Yeah.
The only people who look you in the eye on the streets in London are the crazy people. And you get warned about that when you arrive as a New Zealander. Other New Zealanders will tell you, Whereas here, if we're walking down Bow Street and we walk past someone who's a complete stranger, our eyes might just meet for a second.
Yeah.
And that's all cool. That's normal. But in London, you can be surrounded by people and completely lonely. So it's probably not surprising that the solution has been necessary. Yeah.
That's such a cool initiative. I love that.
Yeah.
And that is why group fitness stuff is so popular. Because it ticks so many boxes, eh?
And there's a little bit of accountability there, not in a heavy way, but it's just like, I have to do it because everyone else is doing it.
Everyone's here and I'm meeting someone or all those things, and it just makes it more accountable. And I think, have we got group stuff here? Yeah, we've got group stuff in Raglan, eh?
Well, there's lots of yoga classes. There's light exercise groups for older people. They meet twice a week at the St. Peter's Church Hall.
Yeah.
10 in the morning. And that's off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually if you go for a surf, you won't be by yourself. And if you are, you should question why, because it might be quite dangerous that day. Yeah. No one else is there, in which case you shouldn't be by yourself.
Surfing's a funny one, eh? Because you're depending on the crowd, and depending on where you're surfing, it can be actually the most solitary experience.
Right.
So if you, for example, if you go out to Manu Bay and surf's good, and there's a crowd out there and everyone's hustling for waves and...
Right, it's a little bit competitive.
Oh, a little bit. I mean...
Well, see, I haven't been. So
yeah, it's not chitty-chatty good times.
Oh, right, know? Okay.
So, but then if you go to the beach, for example, on a nice summer's evening,
yeah,
or morning, and the surf's kind of small and fun, and that's like as social as it can be because everyone's, you know, having a good time and catching up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a... Surfing's got a lot of paradoxes.
Well, because I was thinking, like, psychologically, it's really good to go surfing, like that interacting with nature, getting out of your own head. But then everyone's silently fuming that they can't get a wave.
Yeah, there is. And there's like, you know, there's like punch ups in the surf. Or
yeah, we hear about these things, us land lovers. We're like, what's going on out there, man? It's a bit discouraging. We're like, maybe I won't take up surfing.
Yeah. Well, the whole image of it is the opposite to that.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah, chilled out, gnarly dudes.
So, yeah. I mean, good example, but there's a few...
I hope we haven't offended any surfers this morning.
Oh, I think all surfers agree.
Yeah, and that's part of being at a popular spot too.
Like it is.
Raglan's.
It's called Limited Resources. So there's 50 people and there's only X amount of waves. So that creates kind of... a situation where people are like, you know, trying to get their hit.
Part of when I do the surf report on the show, I read the official report, but I always say how many people are surfing at Manu Bay. Like, for instance, there's about 7 at the moment.
Yep.
So, an 8th one getting in the water. So the mornings when there's 40 at this time, that's when, you know, it's crowded. And the worst one I saw about a year ago, I saw a morning by 10 o'clock, there were about 60 people at Manu Bay.
60, yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like the screen's covered in fly spots when you look on the computer screen. It's just like...
Yeah.
But then as someone else pointed out to me too, it depends how regular the good waves are too.
Yep.
There might be days where you can handle 40 and everyone gets a surf. And today, I mean, the waves are not good, so they all could be sitting there a while.
Yeah.
And you're right, they're all spread apart. They're not chatting, I can see.
So, okay, I'm just going to run through some very quick things. Sorry.
So with the discussion, folks, with Mike Jewell, we're talking longevity, specifically about movement.
And movement.
The importance of movement, yeah.
The importance of movement, yep. So why is it crucial for longevity? I'm going to admit something here.
Mm.
I've got lots of notes from all my staff, but you know how I pulled these 10 ones up?
Yeah.
ChatGPT. I'm just going to admit it.
But did you assess it as well?
I assessed it.
You've got to assess ChatGPT's work before you head out the door, eh?
I've only just downloaded the app last night. So why is it important? Cardiovascular health. So regular physical activity strengthens the heart, improves circulation, and helps regulate blood pressure, reducing the risk of heart disease. And
right.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes easy sense. Metabolic function. So, you know, helps your metabolism, can prevent diabetes and other metabolic disorders.
Yeah.
Musculoskeletal strength, which is what I was saying before, about bone density, about protecting against osteoporosis and muscle strength as well. Mental health, which is what you said.
Yeah.
Physical activity releases endorphins and reduces stress and anxiety. And obviously being part of a group, if you're doing it like that,
yes,
is a big mental health vector. Cognitive function. Regular exercise has been shown to enhance brain function, memory, and cognitive abilities. Immune system is apparently enhanced by regular movement. Joint health is and mobility is, and we were talking about that before, you know, the more you move, the more mobility you have. So as you get older, the less chance you're going to have of losing that. Helps your sleep. So regular exercise improves sleep patterns and quality, and which is essential for overall health and longevity. And finally, social engagement. But we've talked about that before, but it promotes mental health through social engagement. So there's my top 10 ChatGPT reasons why you can have a long life if you move a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And you've managed to find yourself a job where you are moving. So well done on that. It's a bit of a... It can be... Well, no, I guess if you really... If that's what you really want in your life, and you've decided that's important, then you will get there, I think.
I think so. And I think whatever job you have, you can make it work. You can incorporate movement into it. It's just being conscious of it.
Yeah.
Whether you're at a computer all day or not, I think you can... I think I've seen it a lot where you can make that work.
Maybe you work at a council and everyone's sedentary and you can be the person that starts up some movement club or something, like,
yeah,
every 2 hours you have to do, I don't know what, something.
Yeah,
and have a bit of fun with it. That could be a contrast for what we presume it's like working all day in an office.
I'm just sensing you've got a little preconceived. You bring up the council a bit, is there?
I'm always talking about them. Like, there's a community board meeting this afternoon at 1:30 out at Tiuku, and I don't know. I think it's just a function of this job. They're always talking about council stuff. So yeah, and it's the only bureaucracy that I kind of interact with. I don't interact with any people from large corporations or something like that. I mean, I've seen those. I've been in those rooms with the floors like 100 desks and the cubicles all across.
Yep.
And that seems like not a place I'd want to work, but it might work. It may be perfectly fine for a lot of people, I don't know, but I'm more familiar with the council stuff. Yeah, so don't take it. I don't think it's a personal grudge, Mike.
Okay.
I think we're going to say it's not that. Hey, man, thanks for coming in.